Welcome to the Fearless and Healthy Podcast, where I sit down and chat with inspiring change makers from around the world and talk about how to get over those little voices in your head, take action, and live a healthy, confident, and inspiring life. Let the class begin. Excited to welcome Bruce Langford on the Fearless and Healthy Podcast today. And we're going to talk about a topic that I've really tried to become better at over the last couple of years. It hasn't been something that I've always practiced, but I've really got interested in it of late because it's been something that's really helped me in so many different areas of my life. And Bruce has an amazing podcast and a ton of knowledge around the topic of mindfulness. So Bruce, welcome to the show, man. I'm excited for this.
Hey, Ian, thanks so much for inviting me. This is great. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. You know, I always like to start with the story. So let's start with just how you got into mindfulness. Was it a specific incident in your past that really led you to want to explore this on a further level? Or how did it all start for you?
Yes, there was an incident in my past. And as a matter of fact, there were a couple. But one of them was that my son was born back in 2001. And in 2003, I was in a school because I've done presentations in schools for years, and I was in a school doing a presentation about bullying prevention, and the kindergarten teacher came and talked to me after that assembly, and I still remember it. She came right up to me and she said, "I have a little boy, he's only 5 years old in my class," she said, "and he is being bullied. He's being picked on every single day." And she said, "As much as we try to watch and keep an eye on everything that's going on," she said, "we just can't seem to get this stopped. The other kids are picking on him. It's mostly two other children in the class." And she went into quite some detail about this situation, and she wanted me to meet the little boy. So she brought him up, and I met this child. And, you know, my heart just broke for this child, you know, because he was so helpless, couldn't do a thing about it. And even the adults were having a terrible time trying to curb this. And I couldn't help but think the image of my own child was in my mind. And I just thought, you know, when he starts school, I can't imagine how I would feel if I were, you know, experiencing this as a parent, knowing that he's going to school and every day being bullied. And, you know, this whole topic of bullying can be quite heavy. And I had already been meditating. I had already been thinking about some of the mindfulness tools that I could help children with and their parents. And I thought, you know, as time goes by, I just want to learn more and more about mindfulness and just adopt it into my life and bring it into his life as much as possible, because I know that it can really help kids and adults be more relaxed. And, you know, it just seems like there is far less bullying when mindfulness is practiced. And so skip ahead a few years. And when my son Ben was 8 years old, after school one day, he said to me, "Dad, you know what?" And I said, "What?" He says, "I just wanted to tell you," he says, "I just know I will never be bullied." And I just paused for a second. I said, "Well, how do you know that?" And he said, "Well, I'll never be bullied because I'm never going to react to anything that the other kids say. If they say mean things to me, I'm just going to pretend it doesn't bother me at all." And so he had obviously gotten that message. And to this day, he's now 14. Things just seem to roll off him. He's relaxed. He's focused. He's just a kid that those kinds of things don't seem to bother him. Now, he's not bullied. He's not picked on. But like any kid, I mean, you know, things are sad and you know, so he could be upset about stuff that goes on, but he never really seems to be. So it's just one of those things that I wanted to get into to really help him.
Very cool. And I mean, it's just amazing that you're teaching that to your son at such a young age. It would have been an amazing tool to have in my life, you know, years ago, because I can tell you that one of my flaws earlier, and it's still something that I'm actively trying to work on, is really being able to take a step back, you know, and take in the situation before I react to it, right? And really think about things and be more mindful. And I've got better at that. You know, I do things like take power walks, and I'm sure we're going to get into some different ways that you can really, you know, alleviate stress through mindfulness practices. But let's start with something simple so the audience has somewhere where they can really start becoming more mindful. So that, let's say someone's like, I really want to start incorporating more mindfulness practices in my life, and they commit to doing something for, say, 30 days. What are a couple ways that someone can really start to see progress in this area of their life in about a month's time?
Well, one thing I highly recommend is to just take some time, sit down. The beginning of the day works for me, but whatever works for you, sit down and just be completely quiet for 2 minutes. When you're first starting, just do it for 2 minutes time. And 2 minutes will seem like a long time when you're first starting this. But just sit down and be quiet. And no matter what thoughts go through your mind, don't worry about it. Just let them happen. And just use that as quiet time. And if you feel like increasing that a little bit as the days go by for that month's period, then go ahead and do it. But just allowing your mind to have that break, that quiet time, can really make a big difference.
I mean, I'm so on the same page with that, you know, just being able to be present, sit there and just really think, be alone with your thoughts and just kind of gather things. For me, being a scatterbrain, it kind of helps me organize everything that's going on in my head, you know?
Yeah.
And talking about, because there's a lot of people that are interested in fitness and health on this show, one thing I always say is, you know, if you want to control your cortisol levels, you really have to keep your stress levels down. And I know that being mindful helps with that. Having some type of mindful practice can help alleviate stress in your life. But what are some other big benefits that you see besides just the stress relief for someone that practices mindfulness on a regular basis?
Well, a benefit is just that you start to feel more focused. You'll start to feel more calm and more relaxed. And sometimes it doesn't take very long. One of the things I also encourage is expose yourself to nature. Allow yourself to get out there and take a walk in the park, or maybe you have a small forest somewhere near where you live or where you work. Just get out there and enjoy the trees. And if you want to take a jog around a path, you know, a walking path or something, that can be a good thing, or a bike ride. But just expose yourself to nature, and that can really help. That's what I think anyway, Ian.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, I definitely have seen benefits from me. I live in San Diego, and I was actually on Bruce's show yesterday, right?
So
I got the pleasure of connecting with his audience. But I was talking about, you know, for me, it's going for my daily walk on the beach. Now, I didn't get to do that today. It was raining. But, you know, a lot of times I will, you know, just like you said, I'll get lost. When I was in DC, I used to go out on nature walks and just get, you know, lost in the woods, really, and just take everything in. But now it's on the beach, just having some type of way to reset, right? And refocus, especially, you know, we talked about podcasting and how we're sitting in front of the computer all day. And I know a lot of the listeners can probably relate. You know, maybe you're sitting down all day at work and, you know, just taking a couple minutes for yourself, getting up, moving around. I think that you would see so much benefit from that. And I know you're more of an expert on the topic. So I want to get into some other ways that you might have used mindfulness and that it helped you in those situations. So let's talk about maybe some relationships. So for example, with your family, your spouse, people that are really close to you in your life, let's say there's an argument or a problem. Well, how have you, in one of those circumstances, used mindfulness, and how has it really helped that situation?
Well, you know, my wife Darlene and I, we both grew up in very conservative families. And in our families, we didn't really express ourselves that much. You know, my parents didn't really, you know, they never really showed anger very much. They never really showed emotion very much. It was just kind of even. And so now that we're parents, we know, of course, the natural thing is for human beings is sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're frustrated, sometimes we have these various emotions. And the important thing is to know how to deal with them and how to express ourselves. And so at first, when Darlene and I were married, we found that we didn't really express our emotions to each other very well. And so through mindfulness, now we've started to do that a lot more, to just sit back, you know, identify what those emotions are, and then make a decision, you know, like just say, hey, by the way, you know, this is how I'm feeling. And I'm just putting it out there, you know, because I know that we didn't used to always express our emotions. And it's just made a huge difference. So we're both better at expressing ourselves. And mindfulness has helped with that, because, you know, sometimes just taking that quiet time, or sometimes I journal as well. If I've meditated and been quiet for, say, 20-minute period, then I'll take a few minutes and just jot some things down and journal a little bit. And it's surprising some of the things that come out. So that's an aspect of mindfulness that has really helped me.
Very cool. And in terms of meditation, is there a specific way that you practice this? Is it at a certain time of day that you find it really beneficial? Let's talk a little bit about your meditation practice.
Yes, I practice when I first get up. When I first get up in the morning, and I just sit down right away before doing anything. I don't check email or look at my phone or anything like that. And I just don't allow myself to start thinking about the day's activities yet. I sit right down, and I like to sit in the same place each day, in the same chair each day, and that just kind of seems to give it a sort of a consistency. And then I like to, you'll identify with this, Ian, I like to put on the sound of ocean waves,
because
that's that just relaxes me so much. Now, sometimes I do silent meditation. I used to use guided meditations, and I found that the guidance would really help me back when I was first starting. And then I got to the point when I thought, you know what, I just really don't feel I need that. I just want to have silence or something very, very gentle and soft in the background, like waves. So I just do that. And then I basically focus on one or two thoughts. But if I start thinking about other things, I'm really careful not to beat myself up. Because at the beginning, I'd say, oh, what are you doing? This isn't meditating. You know, your mind is going all over the place. This is crazy. You might as well just be doing things. You know, my mind would say all those things to me. And then somebody said to me, you know, the important thing about meditation is do it, but don't judge.
I love that.
You know, don't judge, just do it, and don't worry about what goes on. And so that's what I do. I don't get uptight if my mind goes crazy, because sometimes it is, and sometimes it's more relaxed. So that's what my meditation looks like.
You know, I talk a lot of to a lot of my friends about meditation, because it's not something that I have done for a long time. And I'm not an expert, but I've brought on a couple guests, and we've got into this topic, and almost all of them have said something similar to you. They've said, you know, you don't have to be an expert at meditation,
no.
Right? There's no certain way that you have to practice it. You can get benefits from it by just being alone with your thoughts, practicing your breathing, and like you said, not beating yourself up about it. And I've seen that in my own life, just working on my breathing, right? And really just trying to take a couple minutes out of my day for me. And it's been a huge help for me. And this is almost a selfish question here, because it's something that I kind of want to know. So do you ever practice mindfulness around your nutrition or the foods that you eat? Is there anything that you do before you sit down to a meal, or anything that might be interesting here?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things was that I started noticing, actually many years ago, I noticed that around 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I would start feeling this lack of energy. And I thought, okay, so that's just normal. And then I would want to eat something that would give me, you know, sugar. I would want to eat, I don't know, or drink a soft drink or something like that. And so then I was at an event one time, and I think it was in Texas, and I met a guy, and he started talking to me about a sugar-free diet. And he was doing this thing online, this sugar-free challenge. And so I thought about this for a month or two, and then I decided to get in on it, because I thought, you know, this could really make a big difference. And so I decided to cut out all sugars, like all you know, not natural sugars. And so I basically did that for about 2 or 3 years. And so now occasionally I'll have something that has sugar in it, but not too often. So now I'm very mindful about whether I have something with sugar in it. Processed sugar is what I'm trying to think of. If I choose to eat something with processed sugar in it, I know that I can expect to kind of go back into that roller coaster. So I prefer not to have processed sugar because I'm much more on an even keel. My body just kind of goes along steady and I don't have those highs and lows. So I really practice mindfulness with that. I'm really aware of what I do or don't put into my mouth that has sugar in it. And the same thing with processed foods. I try not to eat processed foods very much, and not at all if possible. But I mean, sometimes it's tricky to avoid them completely. But processed foods have a lot of additives, and I just find it's a lot better to just eat fruits and vegetables and healthy foods and, you know, not processed meats and things like that. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but if I'm going to eat meat, I don't really want to eat like those sandwich meats and things that are processed, you know. So that's what I do in regards to mindfulness and eating.
No, I love that because, you know, what I try to do, especially with some of my nutrition and coaching clients in terms of fitness, I always try to tell them, take a step back and what is it that you're really after from the sugar? Because a lot of times, you know, they get this little sugar high, and if they can be more mindful, they'll realize that you can actually get the same benefits that you're looking for long term from natural sugar, right? Or even healthy fats and protein will give them that same energy. But it's just thinking about it, right? Being more mindful and realizing that if you put the right the foods in your body, you're actually going to feel better after you eat them, right? You're not just going to have this little burst of energy and then crash afterwards. So I love that.
You are absolutely right, Ian. And I just started to realize what I was getting from these things was something I did not want.
Absolutely.
And so I just became way more mindful about the way I was feeling after eating processed food or processed sugar. And I didn't want to feel that way anymore.
I love that. And then in terms of, I'm a big habits and rituals guy. So I always like to ask this question because I bring on a lot of different people and in different expertise, but in terms of any type of rituals, daily practices, I always like to talk about morning routine. So do you have a specific way that you like to set your day up to kind of get you in that positive state from the start?
Oh, yes, I do. And part of it is because of the book by Hal Elrod, Miracle Morning. I really loved the book and it was inspiring for me. And so, you know, I'll jump out of bed between 5 and 5:30, usually closer to 5, and I have a shower, a quick shower, and then I go right to meditate. And I do that before anything else, and I meditate for 20 minutes. And then immediately after that, I just pull out my journal and I write a little bit, and I read a little bit in a book I'm reading. I don't get into the book so that I'm reading for like half an hour or an hour at that point. I usually just read for about 10 minutes. So it's just a little period of time where I journal and read. And then I have breakfast, and I almost always have the same thing. And that just makes it easy because it's just like, it's a habit. It's an automatic thing. And so what I have is oatmeal, and I have a little flaxseed, ground up flaxseed with it. And then I work out, and I have a total gym at home, so I can just do it right there. And I really like it because there's a lot of different things you can do, and it just makes me feel so much better. It makes me feel ready to take on the day. And part of it is because of the habit, because if I don't do it, it's like, oh, something's missing. Did I miss a piece of my habit today?
Right.
A piece of that puzzle? And so it just gets to be a routine that's completely natural and easy, and you just do it, you know?
I love that. I really do. And in terms of your podcast, so I know Bruce, I've actually listened to a couple of his shows. I was on his show, and he's got some amazing guests, and they talk about mindfulness all the time on the show. So definitely check out Mindfulness Mode, but give us a little insight as to, you know, your show and what's going on with that right now.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited because we're just about to hit episode 100. And so I've got a special guest for episode 100, and that's John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire. So super excited about that. And we've had great guests. We've had Pat Flynn. We've had a whole lot of different people, authors. We've had an airline pilot who flew around the world in his plane, and he had exciting stories for us about that. I've had a wrestler. I just interviewed a boxer recently who's going to be in the Olympics, 2016 Olympics. All kinds of people who use mindfulness. And it's just, I find it fascinating to talk to so many different people in so many walks of life, and yet they all have this interesting common goal of being focused, being grounded, and they use mindfulness tools to do it. Now, the tools are not always the same. Like with the mountain climber that I interviewed, he talked about how, you know, he gets on that mountain and he just feels so amazing and so relaxed, even though it's a highly developed skill to climb a mountain the way he does, but that's his form of mindfulness. So just so many people that I find really fascinating.
Very, very cool. And I know there's going to be people interested in this topic. You know, I'm huge on the whole mind-body connection because I truly feel, you know, working out is just half of it, right? You have to have something to really control that mindset as well. And I get that, you know, obviously with nutrition and exercise, it helps. But I think some of these practices take it to a whole new level, right? When you kind of incorporate that whole holistic approach. So where is the best place to get a hold of you, Bruce? If people want to reach out to you and connect, I'm going to leave all this information in the show notes page. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on the show and dropping so much wisdom here.
Yeah, mindfulnessmode.com. That's my website. And you can go on there and you know, you can contact me through the website. You can listen to the podcast through the website. Or, of course, you can go on iTunes and type in Mindfulness Mode as well. And, yeah, it's just been really great talking with you, Ian. And for those of you who would like to just calm your busy mind, I've got something for you. You can go to mindfulnessmode.com/calm, C-A-L-M, and I've got a download for you there. So yeah, it's been great being on your show. Thanks for inviting me, Ian.
Absolutely awesome. I'm going to leave that stuff in the show notes page. Bruce, send over that link to me. We'll link everything up. So everyone that wants to relieve some stress and have some mindfulness techniques that they can practice in their own life, everything will be over at fearlessandhealthy.com. So thanks again, Bruce. It's been a pleasure, and we will chat soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks for tuning into the show today, guys. I want you to do two things. First, head on over to fearlessandhealthy.com and join my brand new Facebook group for exclusive content and group challenges. Second, email me at ian@fearlessandhealthy.com and let me know the number one way I can help you in 2016. Your feedback is what inspires me to keep producing interviews each and every week. I'll talk to you guys soon.